Hi, everyone, and welcome to another very special Talking Insomnia episode. We have Coach Pauline with us. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Really, really glad to be here. And for those of you who don't know Pauline, we're going to talk today about your insomnia journey, as well as how you decided to become a coach and a little bit of that as well. But without further ado, actually, let us know how, you know, it all started on your end.
Well, I've always been in the helping professions. I was a psychotherapist for many years. And in 2008, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was a very frightening experience for me. And the day that the doctor gave me the diagnosis, he also handed me a prescription for sleeping pills and said, here, you'll need these. So he told me I wasn't going to be able to sleep. And so I started taking them. And I also experienced a fair bit of anxiety. So I don't know which came first, the sleeping pills or the anxiety, but they certainly coincided. And while I was going through treatment, I didn't have a whole lot of trouble sleeping because I was so tired, you know, from the chemotherapy. And after I finished treatment, that's when I really became aware of difficulty sleeping and anxiety around sleep. And that's when I started doom scrolling and not reading. Well, yeah, I was reading about lack of sleep and insomnia and its impact on disease. And I was reading that if I didn't get 8 hours sleep every night, I might get a recurrence, or I might get a new cancer, you know, or a heart attack or diabetes or any number of things. And so I became really very worried about my sleep. And the more worried I became and the harder I tried to sleep, the less sleep that I got. And that went on for a long time, until a few months ago, as a matter of fact. And I tried different things with the sleeping pills because, of course, it didn't take long before they no longer really made me sleep all the time. And then they made me sleep less and less. They seemed to actually interfere with the quality of my sleep. And I would sort of have a hangover the next day. And so I would skip a few days thinking, well, maybe that'll make them work if I'm off of them for a couple of days, even though I would go into withdrawal and I would have insomnia for a couple of nights. I would think, oh, well, I'll catch up when I take a sleeping pill. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. And it was really quite confusing. So, you know, I tried melatonin and different teas and, you know, acupuncture and Chinese medicine and all kinds of things. And nothing worked in a solid way. Sometimes something would work for a brief amount of time, maybe a few nights, and that would be all. And then I'd try the sleeping pills again, and I might get one night's sleep, and then, or I might not. So I was in this battle, you know, a real struggle. I wasn't aware at the time of anxiety, but I was pretty obsessed with sleep. I would wake up in the morning feeling totally dragged out, and I would think all day about going to bed at night. And I tried going to bed early, and that didn't make any difference. I tried going to bed late, and that didn't make any difference. So it was a real struggle. It really was. And a couple of years ago, I found a CBTI program, cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, online, produced by some sleep physicians at Harvard. And I paid for that, and I went through it. And to a certain extent, it was helpful in terms of some of the education. And briefly, it seemed to improve my ability to let go at night and sleep. But it didn't last, you know. It wasn't I mean, maybe less than a month. And then I was back on the same treadmill going back and forth, you know, with the sleeping pills again. And then one day, because I live in Canada, and I was reading the CBC website, and I came across a story by Sonia, who had taken the bedtime program, talking about how marvelous it was and the amazing effect that it had. And I had been jumping around, you know, different apps, you know, trying to find something that would make a difference, and nothing did. Some things actually made it worse. But I was desperate, and I immediately signed up for bedtime, and it had a profound positive effect that has been lasting. I think I was really ready for it when I found it. But I'll tell you the first really big difference.
Actually, sorry to interrupt, Pauline. This is kind of like, we really want to hear this, of course, but before we do talk about this part, let's spend just a little bit more on kind of like, you know, what led up to it and what insomnia was like. I always like to ask this question, like, there were many years of the struggle, you know, experimenting with medications, trying CBTI, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but you still worked at this time. You still functioned. Like, what were your days like, generally speaking?
Well, 5 or 6 years ago, I retired, and I wasn't really happy with being retired. And so my days weren't very functional, because I told myself, you know, I would be up so much during the night. I might get 2 to 4 hours sleep during the night. And then I would feel really beat and dragged out. And then I'd say, well, I really can't do anything because I'm too tired. And then I would feel like I not only wasted by night, but now my day is wasted as well. And that's what it was like. And so maybe once a week or so, I would wake up feeling rested. And I would do a whole lot, and I would think, oh well, okay, this is broken through. But then that night I would not sleep very well, or not at all, and then I'd say, well, maybe I did too much. And so sorting out what to do and what not to do was part of the burden of dealing with it. And I think burden is the word that I would use most often to describe what it was like to have insomnia.
Wow, yeah, well said. So we have a picture of like once a week or something like that, maybe you slept well and got some relief, but generally slept very little during the day, felt tired, slept very little during the night, felt very tired during the day. It was really, consuming a lot of your, mental bandwidth.
It really was, yeah, it really was. And I didn't sleep during the day. Every once in a while, I might have a 20-minute nap in the afternoon. I've never really been a napper, and but just generally felt like time was being wasted. It was really it was quite difficult.
I hear. All right. So yeah, with that in mind, now we have a kind of a picture of like what it was like. You found Sonia, and by the way, for anybody who's not so familiar with our community, Sonia was one of our graduates, and she went on to tell her story in CBC, which is like the BBC of Canada, a really big news outlet. And then by serendipitously, you found your way to bedtime, downloaded it, and yes, tell us, like, what was the eye-opening moment? What happened next there?
Well, the thing that was a real eye-opener to start with was the whole notion that because I didn't sleep, didn't mean I had to stop my daytime life, and that it was okay to keep going. That and the whole notion of befriending wakefulness, because I would be berating myself all night long, and I'd be doing the sleep math, you know. Well, if I go to sleep now, I'll get 6 hours. Look at my watch. Well, if I go to sleep now, I'll get 5 hours. Then, oh, I didn't go to sleep then, so it's going to be another 2 or 3 hours before I get to sleep. So That went into my head very quickly, and I was able to let go of doing that. And that was like lifting the burden right there of allowing myself to be awake at night and not trying to orchestrate circumstances that would allow me to sleep that didn't allow me to sleep, trusting my brain to do the work. Wow. And I know for a lot of people, it's very difficult to get to that point. For me, it was very quick. And that doesn't mean I didn't have bumps along the way, that I didn't have, you know, there have been times in the last few months where there have been things going on in my life that upset my sleep. You know, we had some painting done, we had some floors sanded, you know, and furniture pile up everywhere. And so there was bedlam and chaos. And instead of fighting myself with myself about sleep, I simply told myself, of course, anybody's sleep would be disrupted in the middle of all this. It's just made it so much easier. It's freeing. The burden is lifted. And then when I got started feeling, you know, so much better so quickly, and started reading your stuff, and I found that there was a consistency, an intellectual consistency that all fit together, you know, like it was really well done, you know. And I was bored being retired, and I wanted to get back into, you know, helping people. And so I went looking online for training programs for sleep coaches. And mostly what I found was something that was like an, you know, 3 hours or 3 weeks or something like that. And then I discovered that you were training people over months and mentoring and working with us. And that made a whole lot of sense to me to do that. And the programs that you have and the way that you teach fit for me. And so it became easy.
Amazing. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Your transition to becoming a sleep coach is a very nice story there as well. But I just maybe staying a little longer on kind of this, like the clarity that came, like, and I think you said it very nicely, which was like, you said you were ready for it. You were at a place where it was almost kind of like there was just one piece of the puzzle or a couple of pieces of the puzzle that needed to kind of like fit there. And then everything was very clear, which maybe is thanks to all the work you've done as a counselor yourself. Do you think that played a role?
I think partially having been a therapist for so many years allowed me, and I trained as a Gestalt therapist, you know, where there's this belief that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And so if you're going to be working with people, you need to work on yourself. So there was that part. And also, I've practiced Zen meditation for about 30 years, and that sort of prepares one for patience and openness, to what's happening, you know, being present. And so, you know, the whole notion of self-acceptance and being patient in, you know, and non-attachment to the outcome. I just needed that little nudge from you, you know?
Exactly.
And then it took me to where I sort of was anyway, but needed to get nudged to be right into it, you know? So that helped. But not everybody has been meditating for 30 years. So
that's right. Yeah. Which, again, as you point out, like, I think everyone, I'll put it this way. No one needs to struggle with insomnia or sleep, but how that transition happens, you know, it's different from person to person. It can take a little longer, a little shorter for some people, etc. But but now, I guess before we start talking more about like you transitioning to become a sleep coach, you know, for many years your day had been very much consumed by like thinking about sleep, problem solving, sleep, etc. But then you had this freedom, and the burden was lifted. And what How did your day-to-day change?
I do more in a day, and I have a real profound sense of satisfaction as I complete things.
That's amazing.
I'm less procrastination. I don't assume that I can't do what I want to do because I'm too tired. There are days when I'm tired, because I still have days when I, don't sleep terribly well. Like the night before last, I didn't have a very good sleep. Last night, I had a pretty good sleep. So, but I've also, I've let go of the definition of what a good sleep is. And instead, I trust my body and how I feel when I get up. But I do more than simply trust my body when I get up. Because there are days when I wake up and I feel quite tired. And then I just, I have my breakfast and a cup of coffee. And when I wake up and I feel really tired, I ask myself, I just engender a bit of curiosity and say, I wonder what I'll feel like in a couple of hours. And almost every time, a couple of hours later, I feel quite different than I do when I first wake up. And I think it's easy to make the mistake of assuming that the way we feel when we first wake up is how we're going to feel for the rest of the day. In working with insomnia, we talk about hyperarousal, how it keeps you awake. But there's also the normal arousal during the day that allows you to stay awake and to do the things, that you want to do. And so when you first wake up, you may not be fully aroused. And the process of getting dressed and eating something and looking out the window and certainly taking in some natural light makes a big difference. Realized that's really important, is not to make a decision about my day based on what I experience when I first wake up. Take it minute by minute, hour by hour, and do what I can.
Makes so much sense, and so glad to hear this. And it was interesting because you were actually my client in Bed Simon, and we were working.
Yeah.
And then just about when we were about to start our November. Yeah, it was November, right? November batch of like coaching students. You were like, hey, I think I want to join. And I was like, that would be wonderful, but we're almost there, Are you sure? And you were like, yes, I've been retired for a while. Yeah, you were saying like, I've been retired. I want to get out of retirement. I think I really want to do this. And we had a chat. And then just like that, you joined. And tell us like what was that experience like?
It was exciting. It really was. It was wonderful to, to learn new things and be part of a community of learners, because it wasn't just a community of learners with you and I and Michelle and Amity, the other student, but it was the community of learners on the Slack channel who were overcoming their insomnia. And I just learned so much from them and from you. And from Michelle. I'm constantly learning. So, and sometimes I wonder if I really know enough to be doing this.
Sometimes, how it is, like sometimes we feel like in the moment we feel like, oh, I've mastered it. I know everything. And then the other moment we're like, I don't know anything.
I know nothing.
But you've had this is a little short side loop, but I'm personally curious about this. You've had many careers and many jobs during Reich Poling. You've been a journalist, a therapist, and have you done other things as well?
Well, I was a journalist many, many years ago, before I went back to university to study psychology. I also studied Chinese medicine. I'm trained as a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner, but I don't practice that. I didn't renew my license to do that, except on my husband. So And I'm a musician as well. I'm principal harpist with Orchestra Kingston here in Kingston, Ontario. And so I work hard at my music. I think that's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when, and it's funny, it's the thing about music. When I was going through cancer treatment, I was staying with a friend who played the harp, and I would listen to her practice every day, and I was, oh, that's so lovely, you know? And I thought, how hard can that be? It's hard. It's really hard. Hours and hours and hours of practice.
I can imagine. So you learned as an adult to play the harp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just imagine that takes even more, like, you know, when we are learn as kids, we kind of like, I in some way can maybe easier to learn than as an adult. So that's, you know, speaks it a lot is. Of how willing you to learn you are.
Yeah. Because kids' brains are sponges, you know, right. We absorb and our brains are sort of full and we're losing some of the sponginess too. And the other thing too, is that, learning to play an instrument is like learning a second language, learning
right.
music. And then with the harp, you've got the right hand and the left hand, you know, so it's, you're sort of learning the bass and the, you know, and the melody. And so it's like two languages.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's funny that the harp was there like on cue, actually, as we were speaking of it.
Actually, it was a phone call coming in. I just turned it off. So sorry about that.
No, not at all. I guess finally here, I have the two questions I always like to ask people that are guests here, which is, one of them is, if you could, you know, travel back in time and tell yourself something when you were in the thick of the struggle with insomnia, what would you tell yourself?
Well, you mean if I knew then what I knew now?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I would tell myself, stop worrying and about it and let it happen.
Yeah, let go.
Stop fighting it.
Very, very nice. Yeah.
And also, you know, to... stop fighting with the sleep meds. It was something I learned from you that was really important, because I was struggling, you know, with going on them and off them and on them and off them. And I asked you, what should I do? And you said the real problem with sleep meds is the conflict. Either take them or don't take them, but don't fight with them, because that sets you up for more insomnia and more anxiety. And so at the time I was preparing for a concert, and I wanted to get off of them, and I knew that there would be some withdrawal, which would involve sleeplessness. And so what I did was I cut them in half, and I continued taking them until the concert, and did a wonderful performance. And then I stopped. And it was no worse than going off of coffee. You know, it was in terms of the amount of suffering. I had a couple of nights where I didn't sleep terribly well, and that was fine. But during that period of time, I'd learned enough from you to make it a whole lot easier to get. Now, interestingly enough, last summer, I tried to go off of them, and I was a bear. I was just, I wasn't sleeping. And I was getting maybe a couple of hours sleep a night, and that went on for a month, and I had no patience, and I was cranky, and I was horrible. But this time, because I knew what I knew, I just carried on, and I was fine. Amazing. So it's the struggle and the anxiety that makes really all of the difference. And, you know, when we talk about sleep confidence, I think much of sleep confidence is about trusting yourself, trusting your brain, that it will know what to do, because its job is to help us survive. And we do need sleep to survive. You know, we don't need a whole lot, but we don't know that. until we right. find it out. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's amazing. You point out that the same, like the exact same behavior, which is like stopping to take a medication or weaning off a medication, is can be completely different when we're like educated and understand versus when we're kind of like it's a mystery and we don't really know what's happening. It's the power of education, really.
It really is, because it's all based on your assumptions and your beliefs. If your beliefs are that you can't sleep without it, and then you stop, you're not going to sleep. But if you know that your body will sleep as it needs to, and there's, you know, for a lot of people, I mean, if it's a simple sleep aid, the withdrawal is not long.
Well said. And I think finally here, you are you're starting your own coaching practice. You have a website up we will link to in the description here. I'm super excited about that. But what are your thoughts, ideas? How are you planning to help people?
Well, I'm going to do it in much the same way you do, I guess. I'm going to have a Slack channel with membership, monthly membership, with a couple of Zoom calls a week. And I think for the first month, I'm going to offer it for free, anybody who wants to sign up. And that will allow me to sort of do a beta test of my program and teaching. I welcome, feedback. People would like to email me or go through my website to contact me. I would love to hear from them. And I'll also be offering individual coaching by the hour or, four sessions with at a time with a discount.
Amazing. That's wonderful. I'm so glad to hear this. And it's this arc to me. It's like this interesting arc. Like we had Sanya graduate. She decided to tell her story on CBC. You heard the story. You found us. You did better. You become a coach. And now like it's almost like the this nice, I don't know, wonderful story continues because now you're going to help people, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just an amazing thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I was just going to say thanks so much, Pauline, for being here and sharing your story. I look forward to continuing being touched and working with you, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. www.welcometosleep.ca.
Welcometosleep.ca. And again, we'll link to it in the description. So.
Right. And thank you, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. Pauline, anytime. Thank you so much. And yeah, we'll keep talking.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye, everyone.